I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the AI Comic Pod. This is episode number 55 and we're here to talk about Black Panther, previewing what isn't going to be Marvel's biggest release of the year, but it's going to be one of the most popular films, I think, of the year. So yeah, it's going to be quite interesting to talk about this. The hype around this film is just incredible, to be honest. And although it has been a little bit overshadowed by the forthcoming Infinity Wars, I think this is going to kind of blow people's minds a little bit. So it's just me and Stu tonight. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. And you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. This film's not, it's not passed me by a little bit, but I think in my mind, it's just been about Infinity Wars, Infinity Wars, Infinity Wars. Whereas
it kind of has, and especially when a big chunk of the Infinity War trailer takes you to Wakanda.
Yeah, I think that's what throws me a bit. Yeah.
It's a shame that Infinity War, on the one hand, it's a shame that Infinity War isn't coming out a little bit later so they could have done Black Panther and then dropped the trailer. But at the same time, if it was any further away, I think I might explode.
Yeah, and we're obviously expecting trailer two and TV spots and everything else that
comes
along.
Trailer two is supposedly very, very, very close.
Yes, like, I would imagine it will be. Yeah,
it's got to be out around the time of Black Panther, so within the next like month.
You've got to think maybe it'll be prior to this showing, hopefully at the cinema. I just think it's logical because it's around that time where we know quite a bit, and if you've been looking at the Lego sets, you know quite a lot about Infinity Wars because they keep spoiling everything again. But there's quite a bit of, you know, a bit of unanswered in that trailer, as we've talked about, and there's quite a lot to come. And I think people are forgetting how pivotal this film could be in terms of, we know there is going to be an Infinity Stone. Do we know which one it is? The Earth Stone?
We don't know exactly if there is going to be one, but it seems logical because it's the last film before Infinity War in this.
There's still two stones missing.
Supposedly, it sounds like, depending on who you listen to, they might have changed a bit of the mythology around the Black Panthers. There's a bit in the trailer where he's in, it looks like it's like a purple landscape, and there's a tree and it's got all the panthers in it, and the panthers are meant to represent the spirits of previous kings.
It kind of looks a little bit like Northern Lights, but done in Wakanda style.
It's all purpley and prince-like. And each of the panthers is meant to be the spirit of one of the previous kings, because each king is the Black Panther.
Yeah.
And the way they get their powers in the comics, they eat this herb, which is grown in soil, which is over generations, it's been tainted with vibranium from the big giant meteor that landed in Wakanda. And they might change that around, and it might be that this plant has grown, you know, off a tree that's been like infected by the stone or something like that, because they've got to get the other stone in there, because they can't be introducing two of them in Infinity Wars. That doesn't make sense. It seems a bit rushed when you think the other ones were introduced like over the last, what, about 4 years since we got the first one. It's been a real steady thing. But there's two major reasons why Black Panther's going to be or could potentially be groundbreaking for Marvel. First of all, the obvious one, it's the first that I can think of blockbuster superhero film featuring a black superhero. The only other one that comes to mind is the awful 90s Steel film with Shaquille O'Neal. And that was definitely talked about that not before. A blockbuster. Yeah. What's the opposite of a blockbuster? A block shitter?
It's essentially that film. So if you look up like the definition of the opposite, you would have...
There would be a picture of Shaquille O'Neal in that awful fucking tinfoil suit. Looking like a big gormless tin. No,
100%, man. It is quite a groundbreaking moment. And it's not just obviously him being a black superhero lead. You know, 90%, I'd say, the cast are quite prominent black actors.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, if you think Michael B. Jordan's made a pretty big name for himself in the last few years.
Well, yeah, he came on with the director... who did Creed, and the Creed director is coming on with him to do Black Panther. He's playing the villain, which is quite intriguing, because I don't see him as a villain, but, you know, we'll have to see how that works. Ryan Coogler is the director, very young, only 31 years of age. Which for director is absolutely nothing.
And what's his background?
Not a great deal from what I've seen.
Other than Creed.
Creed is his...
Creed was quite well received, wasn't it?
Creed is an exceptionally well received film, actually. So he'd done shorts, he'd been in and around, but he's such a young director that he's probably only come out of
film school. Films.
Yeah, he's probably only come out of film school when he's 23, 24. So he's probably only been in the industry for a matter of 5-6 years. Do you know what I mean? Before he got onto this project.
In 2013, then Creed in 2015, and then Black Panther. Yeah. So Black Panther will only be his third film, and on those three films he's directed and written, which I from my limited experience. I always like it when a director has a huge hand in writing, because at the end of the day it should always be his vision, shouldn't it, or her vision.
Yeah, Creed was a really interesting one, because Creed obviously is Rocky 7, I guess we're up to, or something. I think there was a Rocky 6.
Saw a bit before. You know what they're doing for the next Creed, in the next Creed film.
Yeah.
He's facing Ivan Drago's son.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's getting a bit much.
I know.
You can't just have everyone's son.
Have you seen Creed or not?
No.
Creed is on Netflix. Do you know what? Creed was
It's on my watch list, I promise you it is. I went through the films the other day and I put a load of stuff on my to watch list.
No, it surprised me, because I've never been... Oh God, we're going to lose followers. I've never been a big Rocky fan, to be honest. A lot of people love those films for nostalgic purposes. Do you know what I mean? I just thought a lot of the time it's just Stallone just mumbling nonsense, to be honest. But Creed's got a lot of genuine heart about it. And the big thing with it is you're taking Sly Stallone in a role you've known, but then you're putting a younger, kind of trendier actor in front of him, taking the lead, and then adding some style to it. So it's a really quite stylish film for what is a boxing film. And it perked my interest. So as soon as I'd watched it, it's the kind of thing you go to IMDb, you check out the director, you check out Michael B. Jordan, who's done bits and pieces. Obviously, he had a failed attempt as a superhero as Johnny Storm in Fantastic Four.
He was awful as Johnny Storm. But to be honest,
it didn't work.
Nothing was going to come out of that film smelling roses.
No, exactly.
It'll be interesting to see how he does. Like you say, he's not often... I don't see him as being a villain, but from the trailers, you get a good sense of...
He looks good in the role, man. Obviously, he bulked up a lot for Creed. He's quite a strong guy, quite imposing.
He's in good shape for this.
Yeah, he looks in great shape for this. Yeah.
So he's playing Killmonger, and Killmonger is his... I think that's like a street name he's been given, and I think he's been working as a mercenary or something, like a hired gun.
I think it's mercenary territory,
He was exiled from Wakanda, I think, because he was quite vocal that he thought that he should take the mantle of Black Panther after T'Chaka's death.
Yeah.
And he went and worked doing black ops for the US, for the US military. And he sort of feels like that's his right because he's better placed and all the rest of it. So
yeah, it's almost civil war. It's almost civil war territories in
basically,
the film.
That's
what it's building up.
There
for,
is
you
an
know?
Element across the whole film of a Wakandan civil war, because you see from the trailers, the first thing we see of Wakanda is it's this huge technological city. It's said to be the most advanced city in the world. You know,
yeah.
The fact that they've got that shield, so people don't even know that it exists, that goes some way to showing how far ahead they are of, say, you know, Japan or like Silicon Valley in the US.
Yeah.
And they pride themselves on being, or they've always prided themselves on being very reclusive, and they wanted to keep themselves to themselves. But as we saw in Civil War, T'Chaka, just before his death, he wanted to break that, and he wanted Wakanda to become part of the wider world and have more trade relations.
Yeah.
So you've got the huge high-tech side, but then you've also got the real, more sort of classical-looking African tribes, and that's one of the roles of the King of Wakanda. He's got to balance all of that, the people who want to embrace the modern world, but the purists who want to embrace old way of life. So you've got people fighting with incredible tech and
yeah.
flying around in these, you know, magnificent flying machines, but then yeah. you've got the other people that are still fighting with spears and are still
yeah.
living very much out
well,
in the wilderness.
It's such a balance, you know, in the trailer you see the kind of traditional fighting elements.
I forget
of
the
it.
Name of what's the character that's played by Forrest Whitaker. No, not Forrest Whitaker. You see him. Oh, I can't think of his bloody name.
What? Who plays? Who's in?
There's a guy. I think he's the tribe. He's the leader of one of the really sort of older style tribes, and I can't remember what his name is.
Oh, I think I've seen.
He's a big looking guy. Because
yeah.
I think there's one bit where some of the tribes are fighting. So there is that. You're right with what you said. I was thinking that before. There's an
yeah.
element of civil war.
Well, I think it looks to me, and I don't know the full read through, but it looks to me like this trial by combat between Black Panther and
Killmonger.
Yeah, exactly. It looks to me like traditional trial by combat. Not probably, you know, not trial to the death, but certainly fighting for the throne. And then basically, you know, it's gonna enhance from there. Then you've got your kind of side story with Freeman's obviously gonna be involved, Martin Freeman.
Yeah,
He's got some several scenes with Andy Serkis, who we know as Ulysses from Age of Ultron.
Ulysses
when he's got that excellent accent and he's dealing in vibranium.
Yeah. And if everyone remembers in that film, Ultron
yes.
accidentally rips off his arm.
He does
indeed.
And yep.
that goes now with his proper comic book story where he's got a giant robotic arm that, as you can see in the second trailer, it can shoot energy blasts, and there's going to be all manner of like Inspector Gadget level things that he can do. Just before we go on to the rest of the cast, the other thing I wanted to say in terms of why it's so it could be so popular, because
yeah.
it's the first film after Civil War that's going to link into that kind of thing. Because Ragnarok was obviously completely removed because it's one of the cosmic films.
Yes.
With this being on Earth, there's going to be some kind of a fallout because Black Panther was heavily involved in Civil War, so he's going back to Wakanda presumably, and that there's going to be some kind of a fallout potentially for the fact that his dad's died. We obviously know there's a challenge now to his crown.
Yeah,
maybe there's going to be some people saying, well, you know, this is what happens when we try and integrate in the world. That could be what causes the, you know,
well, yeah,
tensions.
I mean, a big part of Civil War is why the peace treaty, I can't remember, the Sokovia Accords was drawn
yeah.
up. It's to do with how many Wakandans died in Lagos in that event at the beginning of Civil War. And that's kind of what brought Wakanda into Civil War. That's what brought them into, you know, this talk of, you know, Wakanda being reclusive in that film and, you know, the king coming out and, you know, wanting to embrace, you know, I think the king, T'Chaka was wanting to maybe come out into the modern world and have some influence because they have a lot to offer the wider world is his viewpoint. Do you know what I mean? They obviously have technology, and their beliefs and what they believe in as a community seems to be something he wanted to influence the rest of the world with. And that was quite interesting. And obviously he very quickly died in that film. And we both kind of said that Black Panther in that film, Chadwick Boseman, was just excellent. You know,
his fight scenes were great.
Yeah, fight scenes were great. The costume, the style.
The costume was unreal.
It was. And the role he played as well, you know, it was an interesting role in the film. He had quite a big influence in a lot of ways. Obviously, he was the one that was pushing.
The character, wasn't it?
Yeah, because everyone said Spider-Man this, Spider-Man that, and Spider-Man was great, and we love Spider-Man and Homecoming, obviously. But
he
wasn't there in that regard for the role. Do you know what I mean? They brought Ant-Man in for the incredible fight scene when he's Giant Man. And all the other characters in regards to that, they had some character development, and outside of really Iron Man and Cap and Bucky, I'd say Black Panther was probably the most important to the story, because he was the one driving the chase. Do you know what I mean? He was the one that was pushing Tony as hard as anyone to bring Bucky in and for justice. And ultimately, he's the one that kind of brought Zemo to justice in regards to not letting him kill himself. And so obviously his role was quite bigger than people thought in that film, and for a new character it was quite important. And obviously coming into this, as soon as we saw Wakanda in those cutscenes, me and you were pretty hyped about this, honest. But since the trailers, and I mean the trailers have been mind blowing. People know what to expect.
Visually, it looks incredible. One thing that we haven't really seen much of from the trailer is, I think they call it the Mound, which is the giant meteor of vibranium that landed in Wakanda, and that's the source of all of their power. You know, that's where all of their tech comes from. That's where all their wealth comes from.
No, there's been no exposure to that. I don't think.
I think there's been a little bit. I think that the scientist is Shuri, played by Letitia Wright. She looks really good. She's the one in the scenes. I think he's got the little secret handshake with in there.
Oh, that's cool.
That's his sister. So she's the princess. But she's like their Tony Stark. She's the one who's showing him around the lab. And, you know, we've already seen in this film, there's at least two, if not three, different suits. Potentially, she's also made the Golden Jaguar suit, which is what Killmonger ends up stealing for the big, massive fight.
Yeah.
And I found the name of that guy that I was thinking of. His name in the comics was Manape. And he is the leader of the mountain tribe called the Jabari. And they don't believe that T'Challa should be their king. So that ties up with one of the fight scenes. You've got high tech versus old school, you know, complete contrasting
philosophies
on how Wakanda should be. But the trailers have done a really good job of showing that side of things. They always say about Wakanda, it's like, it's Tony Stark, but better. You know, you think of everything that Tony's done. Wakanda could make Iron Man suits look like, you know, toilet roll holes and cereal boxes.
Yeah, I think you've seen that the technology is there. I think with the ships, not so much, but it's got that kind of cool neon vibe, which we're quite used to now with Ragnarok.
I'm all for
more films like that, to be honest, because I think they just look incredible.
It's a spectacle, isn't it, when you go and everything's really bright and really vibrant, and it just, to me anyway,
it depends what you want from a film, obviously. We're like babies,
we're fascinated by loud noises and big shiny colours and that.
Yeah, but then I'll happily take Winter Soldier and it's stripped down, no effects kind of, true. Do you know what I mean? So it does just depend on what kind of film you're looking to go for, but I think Marvel's done a great job of really using modern high-tech cinema, you know, visuals to make these kind of stunning things, because Ragnarok looked amazing. Guardians has always looked incredible. Do you know what I mean? Even if people have issues with Guardians 2, don't tell me that opening scene with Baby Groot and all that background is not one of the best things you've seen in modern cinema. Do you know what I mean? Like, visually just incredible.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, and obviously this looks maybe another level to that, to be honest. It does look incredible. And I've always thought that kind of mix of old and new, so we're going to have that very pristine looking Wakanda and that jungle and that environment, but you're going to have that stark contrast with all the neon and modern, you know, and I think that's going to be ace, man, because yeah, that's what grips a lot of people. And I think the trailer is what trailers come out, and it absolutely went crazy, didn't it? I mean, the numbers were just off the scale until Infinity Wars came out.
I was just going to say, until Infinity War came along and shat on all YouTube records ever.
Which is quite, well, it's not that big a shock, you know, but looking at Infinity Wars, as we discussed, Wakanda is very prominent in that film. And I think that's the only slight with this is that, you know, obviously that Black Panther will come out of it, obviously.
And I think a lot of the other ones as well, because I think a lot of you've the characters seen, that are in this are in it. I mean, mentioning Shuri again, I wouldn't be surprised if for the second Infinity film, whatever they call it, assuming it's Gauntlet. I wouldn't be surprised if Shuri doesn't work with Tony to kit people out with more stuff. Maybe we get new suits.
Can we have a rocket moment in there?
Well, there you go. There's the three inventors. You know, the guy that makes bombs out of things he finds in the bottom of drawers.
I know,
Tony
incredible.
That makes Iron Man suits for fun. And you've got this incredible young woman who's got the most valuable resource in the world. And she just goes, well, I'm just going to build another Black Panther suit. You know what? I'm going to make a suit that appears out of nowhere. And it's an energy suit. So you get shot and it just redirects the kinetic energy and all that. It's great, isn't it?
That would
be awesome. Side note about that, I was watching a little video the other day.
Yeah.
It was a little on-screen bit with Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan. So Falcon and Bucky. And at one point they did say that there's a scene where you've got 40 superheroes on screen at the same time. I think this might have been for Avengers 4 for the next one.
It's got to be.
40 people at the same time, all on the same set.
Only the Russo brothers can probably do that.
Yeah, without it looking stupid. And they're all major characters as well. This isn't going to be like the Black Panther backup characters or, you know, other people.
No.
That's going to be the Avengers, the Guardians, the Asgardians, and all the rest of it. It's just going to be...
Oh.
It made me want to cry because it sounds beautiful.
It does. I mean, speaking of other kind of major characters, we talked Infinity Wars, obviously, and we can't not talk Infinity Wars at the minute, but Danai Gurira. She, obviously, is extremely well-known to us as an actress because we talk a lot about The Walking Dead. She's obviously Michonne, who's a very pivotal character still. Do you know what? Walking Dead's pretty shit when she's not, her and Rick aren't on screen enough at times. Do you know what I mean?
Especially her, because Rick's a bit annoying, but whenever Michonne's on and she's not in Civilization, she's one of the best things because she's got a fucking sword.
And she can bloody use it.
It's the weapon that we'd all realistically want in a zombie apocalypse because it doesn't run out of ammo and you don't have to get too close. While they're all using claw hammers and fucking sharp plastic spoons.
Do you know what? If you were in that situation, you would not want anything like short range weapon.
No, you're
going to get
bit.
Two
arms length away.
If you've got a knife or something, you don't want a little knife, do you? Do you know what I mean? No. You want something significant.
The exception to that was always, what was his face that used to use the little hammer?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The one that died when his hand got bitten.
You know, God.
He was played by Chad Coleman. I know his name, but I don't know the
character. I know Chad Coleman's name, but I can't remember who he was. Anyway, he was the brother of Sasha, and I can't remember his... Sasha, now I know. She's obviously gone off to be in Star Trek.
Well, whatever his name was, he was funny because he used to beat their heads in with the actual hammer.
He did. Yeah.
And she plays the leader of the Dora Milaje, which is the all-female... They're kind of like a secret guard kind of thing, but it's
was she in, because I'm confusing whether it's her or Lupita that was in Civil War as his kind of direct bodyguard.
No, it wasn't. It was neither of them.
Oh, was it not? I can't remember who it was that was in the film.
It wasn't anyone recognizable, but she kind of looks a bit like Dinah Guerrera because she was completely shaved head.
Yeah.
I was watching that clip the other day because I was watching
she was kind of squaring up to Black Widow, wasn't she?
Yeah, which was quite interesting. Black Widow's like, no, and you know, Black Panther's kind of in the background thinking, if I get the jelly out, this is going to get really awesome. But he had somewhere to be.
He had other pressing matters.
And that this it looks like there's going to be a lot of the Dora Milaje in it because they're one of the things that's synonymous with Wakanda. Wakanda is synonymous for the technology and this incredible elite fighting unit that's all made of women. I think.
Do we know if Lupita is another member of such thing?
Yes, she is. She's.
I'm hoping she gets as much screen time as they can. Actually, to be honest,
I'd be surprised if Lupita Nyong'o doesn't, because she's very much an in actress at the minute, isn't she?
She is. Yeah, I mean, she got particularly famous from a role in 12 Years a Slave, and like she won an Oscar for that. So, and she was nominated for literally everything else. She's apparently in The Force Awakens, but I don't know if she's in The Force Awakens.
Yeah, she does the voice of Maz Kanata.
Oh, Maz. Yeah, of course she does. And she was in the kind of remake of The Jungle Book, and basically she is pretty hot property at the minute. So she's a very good actress, and I just hope they give her enough. I hope all the actors in this are given enough to work with in terms of the script. And I think there will be, because like we said, director clearly knows how to write and direct a film. And the script's obviously going to be quite prominent, but I don't want it to just be a visual film. Do you know what I mean? It looks like it's got a lot more to it.
It needs the substance, you know? Obviously, otherwise it'll just be, it'd be a great shame if they had such
a landmark
film that doesn't stand up.
No, Ragnarok did that for us, where we thought, oh great, we're going to get great aspects of this, and you know, Hulk and Thor fighting and everything else, and then Loki's back. But what surprised me, what we loved about it, is the script, because it was just hilarious. Do you know what I mean? And it was just so clever. And this just looks it just looks really good, man. It looks a really inventive film. It looks a really modern film.
Do you want to know
It looks completely different. Yeah.
That member of the Dora Milaje that you're talking about, she is actually in it.
I thought she would be.
Her name is Florence Kasumba, and her character's name is Ayo.
Okay. And I thought she would be. I don't think they would have brought her in and then just cut her, because she clearly has some role to play.
And she looks very tall as well.
Yeah, she was quite imposing. Yeah.
And that will be one of the reasons, because they serve primarily as they're his like personal guard. But Lupita Nyong'o's character, Nakia, apparently, I'm only reading this, she's a spy. So her mission, according to Wikipedia and IMDb, she goes out into the real world. So she's one of the few members of the tribe that's allowed out into the real world to see what's going on. So she may well... You know, she presumably will have known what was happening with T'Challa dying and T'Chaka taking over and all the rest of it.
I'm hoping Forrest Whitaker also gets a part, unlike in Rogue One or any other big film he's been in recently, that he actually has something to do.
Well, he's apparently the keeper of the heart-shaped herb, which is nice. The thing that I mentioned that gives...
He's kind of like a not a voodoo kind of guy, but
he sounds like he's got a bit of a sort of a voodoo priest vibe to him. Certainly, yeah. he sounds like he's one of these people that keeps the old ways. You know, while Wakanda moves on, he tries to keep certain things.
He suits that role. And
he's a big actor as well. T'Challa's mum, played by Angela Bassett. I love Angela Bassett from all of her time on American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Because she's got presence. She dominates whenever she's in, and she's really theatrical and over the top. And if you're playing the mother of the young king, you know, she's going to need a bit of that gravitas. She's going to need to be a bit like sort of a Catelyn Stark role, you know, with Rob. He's potentially going to need his mum's help, somebody who's been around for decades and seen how you run a country. And she's got to guide him a little bit, but without pulling the strings on him, because then it makes him look weak. So
I'm intrigued by everyone in it, to be honest. It's like we said, it's a great cast of individuals.
And I love Andy Serkis as well.
Yeah. We mentioned it before.
He looks really, as a villain pick, he looks really, really good.
I love how, with Andy Serkis, obviously he does all the motion capture stuff, but I love how he can just do pretty much anything. Do you know what I mean? He is a very, very inventive actor. He will do anything you give him opportunity to do, really. The main one, obviously, being the lead, is Chadwick Boseman. And he's 41. He's had a mixed career. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't have said before Captain America, I'd known him for anything particularly.
I'd never heard.
And you're looking through his kind of list of stuff. He hasn't had, his career's really not taken off yet, to be honest, until this, because I think he did a James Brown kind of retelling biopic style thing called Get On Up, where he played James Brown, which actually gets good reviews, and I'm surprised it's passed me by, really, because I kind of love James Brown's style of music, and I'm going to watch that. But that was in 2014. And since
I've heard
then,
of one film he's been in, I've heard of Gods of Egypt.
I've heard of that too. I think that was was Christian Bale in that, or Gerard Butler?
It's got Gerard Butler, Alodie Young, who plays Elektra in Daredevil.
It gets 25 out of 100 on Metacritic. So
Nikolai
Costa might be Wilder, steering clear
who we know
of that
is,
one.
Jamie Lannister.
Yeah. I think looking back, you know, Get On Up looks like his potential breakthrough, and that was only a few years ago. Obviously, this is a big part for him, and he didn't look at all out of place. He played it extremely well in Civil War, and I think we're expecting big things. And, you know, again, we always say this about actors and directors, it doesn't really, they're all so well cast in these films that it doesn't really matter where they've come from, same with directors, or what they've done before, as long as the director and people involved in the process know what they're going to do with them. Do you know what I mean? And know what to get out of them. And that's why a little bit of times I'm going, yeah, Michael B. Jordan is a villain. I'm not sure. I can see it. And if you watch Creed, you might share my sentiments on that. But you just don't know what directors can get out of people. I never thought we'd see a Thor film where Chris Hemsworth was that naturally funny. Because he's been very funny before, don't get me wrong. But not that funny.
Not stand-up funny.
No, not literally have your sides creasing. And, you know, that film kind of changed interpretations. And I think Ant-Man, we go back to a little bit, and Guardians, where films that people aren't expecting a lot of, and they are expecting a lot of this film, don't get me wrong. It's got a huge amount of hype. But that's because Marvel's grown and developed, you know what I mean? Things like Doctor Strange never really got much hype. Ant-Man didn't get much hype. And then they come out and they perform extremely well at the box office.
My dad hates Doctor Strange.
Why?
He watched it one time on a flight going to America.
No, I don't watch it on a flight.
And he said it was one of the shittest films he's ever seen.
Jesus Christ.
My dad's not big on comic book films anyway, but I think it was the fact that it was all magic-y that just really...
I think to balance it out, Doctor Strange was my dad's favourite comic book hero growing up, and he really likes the film.
Hashtag polar opinions of the comic book dads.
Yeah, exactly. Get them on a podcast. It'll be more arguments than what we did last week. I'm excited, to be honest. Obviously, Infinity Wars is all the buzz for this year. But I think this film is really going to...
Well, that's the...
It's going to be just... It's going to be a big...
This is an interesting sandwich between the end of Civil War and the start of Infinity War. It really does position it. They've got some loose ends to tie up, but then there's obviously a lot of things that they need to set up as well. Because
exactly, and that's going to be the intriguing thing. You know, what is the setup going to be for these films?
What are we going to get in the post credits? Because normally in the post credit scene, it teases the next film.
Well, you wonder whether it's going to. Well, do you know what? Post cred in this will involve Bucky.
It's got to be. It's got. I think I've said that already. Bucky will get his new vibranium arm.
He'll get a new arm after being defrosted from the freezer. Do you know what I mean?
Anyone's forgotten, the last thing we saw of Wakanda was Black Panther is given sort of sanctuary, hasn't he, to Cap and Bucky.
Yes.
And Bucky's arm was obviously ripped off by Iron Man. So he's one-armed, and he said he was going under like cryostasis or whatever. He was being frozen until
I wouldn't expect to see Cap, though, for some reason. I wouldn't expect to see Cap. No. Just the way he's been introduced in the trailer is like he's stepping back from exile almost. He's been off, do you know what I mean? Growing his beard.
I think Cap's been away recruiting other people for what I've been calling the Secret Avengers, because in theory that's what they're doing. But Bucky also said he wasn't going to come out the ice until they'd found a way to remove the programming, the conditioning in his brain.
I wonder whether they'd be bold enough to have Cap away hitting the bottom of a bottle, to be honest, because something harder. I don't think they would, because I know he's clean cut and everything. I just think, obviously, they've given him a bit of a makeover and certainly changed his approach. And his...
Sorry, I love beard Cap.
He's never been more
handsome.
No, he's a handsome chap. But you just wonder whether, because his films... I don't know. No, there's going to be no major deaths in this one of significance. There's going to be nothing major that would push along the MCU, I don't think. This will set up further Black Panther films to come. Do you know what I mean? Because it's a whole other world almost. Do you know what I mean? You've got to treat it like it's its own individual identity. So I think we'll see what that does. It's intriguing where everything goes next, to be honest, mate, because Infinity Wars feels like a huge end to everything, because you're coming off the end of this film,
which it kind of is, because Infinity War wraps up this phase.
Yeah, exactly. But you're still within this phase, and because we didn't really do a preview of the year, this is kind of good to touch upon. But you've obviously got Ant-Man and the Wasp coming out, and we've seen some screenshots of that, and it looks ace. Yeah. They're obviously going to be involved probably in the second part of
yeah, they've been confirmed. They're not taking part in Infinity War,
which is good, because again, that would be daft. It wouldn't make any sense.
It would be stupid, because you'd have to introduce the Wasp before you get to Ant-Man and the Wasp, and they said a very, very, very long time ago that they weren't going to be in it. Captain Marvel wasn't going to be in it, because they don't. There's no point. Is that they'll let certain bits of speculation run, like, you know, oh, is Captain America getting his energy shields from the comics, and are we going to see this Iron Man and things like that, and are we going to see Thor with an axe rather than a hammer? But if there's things that are never going to happen, they just shut them down, because there's other things for people to talk about. You know,
the Iron Spider suit is the intriguing one and all the buzz, but we will have to wait and see whether that comes to fruition.
Hashtag Stu's prediction. I don't think that this suit is going to have the arms on it, but I wonder if Shuri might put the arms on it and they'll be made out of vibranium. Because that would be...
I think this suit does have the arms on them.
I hope it does, because it's not Iron Spider without the arms.
It's not Iron Spider without the arms.
And they're not calling it Iron Spider, but it is, because it's a Stark Tech arm for Spider-Man.
When we saw it in Homecoming, we said that's the closest they're going to get. Do you know what I mean?
My first thought was, I thought it actually looked like Ben Reilly's Spider-Man suit when he took over.
No, it's the gold trim, man. It's the gold. It's the gold styling to it. It just felt Iron Spider to me. We'll see what happens. But I think, like you said, it's exciting to see what technology comes out of Wakanda, because, you know, you've seen the weapons in the trailer, and you know, like you said, the spears as traditional weapons, but then they've got high-tech guns and kind of force weapons and things that we're not seeing before. Do you know what I mean? Because we're not used to that.
I forget which one of the Dora Milaje comes out, and she's got these gauntlets that look like Panther's heads, and they shoot massive energy blasts. They look shit. They're like
awesome, man.
They're like Tony's repulsors, but
yeah, they are like repulsors. Yeah, they are, but they're handheld and different.
Fucking Panther heads, which is obviously cool. Because, case you haven't noticed, Wakanda's kind of got a bit of a fixation with panthers.
Yeah, they kind of like the Black Jaguar. Yeah.
The golden Jaguar armor is cool as shit.
Oh,
as well.
All the armors in it just look immense, man.
The one I'm loving is the one that appears. He's walking down the middle of a street. It looks like it's in the middle of Tokyo or something, because it's really bright and neon, and he's walking.
It's all that neon,
And it just appears all wrapped around him like Iron Man's Extremis armor from the comics.
Yeah, see, that's what's quite exciting is the fact that you know, we're so used to Iron Man's armor in terms of the fact it's got all those fitted parts for every different limb. Do you know what I mean? But these armors look so much more natural in a way.
It's like one solid piece of liquid, isn't it? And we've already seen from the first trailer, they're bulletproof. He's got those energy discs. There was one bit that I saw a little analysis of. And do you know the bit where he's clinging to the side of the vat of the car and he uses his claws and he shreds the wheel? That shows how strong the whole vibranium is. You know, he's able to do that. His hand's not smoking.
I think we always knew with vibranium. I mean, even if you don't know, it's always been known. Cap Shield is, if you can withstand a blow from Thor's hammer, you kind of know how strong it is. Do you know what I mean?
And that shield, of course, before it was, you know, left after Civil War, was massively defaced by scratch marks from vibranium.
Oh,
and it is known to be like the strongest substance in the world. I didn't shed
a tear, but you know that perfect shield. It's just all like scratched.
I love the fact it's battered and it's got dings out of it and everything, because you know it's been around for a fair few years.
Yeah.
And now it looks like Wakanda is going to give Cap a new shield, which we'll cover properly when we start doing more proper.
Yeah. I think Infinity Wars might have to be two previews the way it's going. two shows.
There's going to be some cool stuff comes out of Wakanda, stuff for Black Panther and then stuff for, you know, maybe even beyond. You never know, because the more heroes they bring in, maybe the more need there is for tech. And we don't know what happens with Iron Man, because Robert Downey
Jr.
I hope we get time for all this tech
and everything else. Well, yeah, we mentioned it before. Chris Evans is up. Robert Downey Jr. is up. I would imagine Jeremy Renner is up. Although, interestingly, you might get to see what happens in Budapest.
Yes. Chris Hemsworth said the other day he's happy for another Thor.
He's a younger guy, though, right? I mean, that's the difference, isn't it?
Potentially, but you think Iron Man doesn't need to be young.
He doesn't, but I think Downey Jr.'s, he's done his role. Do you know what I mean?
I think if he steps down,
he's been in it longer, mate. You've got to look at it from that perspective.
Oh, he's been in it for 10 years.
He's 52 now. He'll be 53. He'll be 54. 50, I know. 54 when it's all over. And the guy, obviously, he's done the bigger blockbusters. He's done the kind of Sherlock Holmes and all of these Marvel films. But the guy was kind of known for his offbeat indie films and stuff. So I think you might see him going back to doing things a little bit different, which is cool. And that's what we like from all these actors. I think Chris Evans is probably ready to pass the shield, being honest.
He's been making noises, though. He's been saying that, you know, he's not opposed to Cap coming back, but he doesn't fit in with Sebastian Stan having a 9-film deal. And I think we love
all of these characters, but are you not kind of ready for a fresh approach to things after all these
films?
The one I think
I would miss more than anyone is Cap.
I'd struggle to see the shield with someone else, actually.
That's what I mean, because when Iron Man goes, Iron Man will probably go. When Thor goes, Thor will probably go. But
yeah,
Rhodey's
definitely going to go as well.
Cap is the transferable one, and especially when Sebastian Stan's done the original Captain America film, Winter Soldier, Civil War, then these two Avengers films. He's still got 4 films left on his deal. If that doesn't smell of Captain America, at least 4, if not 4 and 5, and then 2 more Avengers films, then I don't know why you'd sign an actor to a long deal like that, because the rest of them didn't get 9. A lot of the others only got like 6 or 7. And bear in mind, some of these appearances might be flashbacks.
Do you know what's exciting about? Yeah, true enough. I think what's exciting about where it all goes from after this. So obviously we've got Black Panther, Infinity Wars 1,
Ant-Man and the Wasp, and then Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, and then obviously Gauntlet, or whatever we call it. And then is there another release after that next year? Is it Spider-Man 2?
Spider-Man Homecoming sequel, whatever they're calling it, is slated for July the 5th 2019. Right. And Marvel are generally pretty good with their dates. If they say it, they stick to it. And then as
it's
of
just
about
intriguing
ago,
what else have come. Oh, Guardians 2020.
Guardians 3.
Yeah, it's going to be intriguing what comes next, because obviously they'll all be planned and in the off. But I think we'll see some fresh stuff, you know, because
well,
there's some
Kevin Feige
Doctor
said
Strange
they've
2.
Got 20 films planned on the slate, and this is before the Fox merger.
Oh, God, I forget about this. Jesus Christ.
But that's going to take, do you reckon, 18 months to get ratified by, you know, all the different red tapes, because at the end of the day...
Yeah, and they're already producing films, aren't they, as well, man? So, yeah, I wouldn't expect that to make an immediate...
Nothing changes for the next at least 2 years, and any films that Fox are planning still gets made. So Deadpool 2, Deadpool 3, X-Force...
Yeah, I'm not sure about where the X-Men universe is going to need a proper reboot, to be honest.
So there's all kinds of things planned, but according to this, Phase 3 officially runs up until after Avengers 4. I thought Infinity War was the end of 3, and Ant-Man and the Wasp was the beginning of 4, but I think they've expanded it. So Phase 3 has just been absolutely mental, because that started with Civil War.
Yeah, it's been absolutely incredible, to be honest.
Probably my favourite one.
It's gotta be. You can't look at a film in this group and go, it's anything other than near perfection to me. To be honest, it's just the greatest balance of films and style. And I think Captain Marvel's gonna be completely different again. And I think Ant-Man's just gonna be more of the same.
Because it completely 90s. Flies in the face of everything they've done, because it's set 15 years in the past.
Yeah, which is great, man.
We've got two-eyed Nick Fury. We find out what happens to his fucking eye. We've got the Skrull, which is a huge, like, massive deep cut from the comics, because people have been clamoring after getting the Skrull involved for ages, because they're one of the biggest Marvel cosmic villains.
Yeah, because they can morph into anything, can't they? So,
exactly, yeah. And they're supremely powerful. You know, most of the heroes in this would get their ass handed to them by a Skrull, but then in comes Captain Marvel, who, by Kevin Feige's admission, she is by far the strongest character in the MCU. By a mile. And bearing in mind, we've just got Thor confirmed as being the actual god of thunder, where he doesn't need Mjolnir to command thunder and lightning, and she's more powerful than him, and he's a
it's
god.
Intriguing that Thor is going on the hunt for a new weapon, though, by the sound of it. So I'm
intrigued as to what they do. From the Infinity War trailer where what do they call it? The Cosmic Forge? That's the play. Yeah. You know, the bit where he's in the machinery and he's got those two huge, like, handles.
100% is definitely going to be wielding a new weapon of swords,
and
I think.
It just depends whether they redo Mjolnir, he gets the other Warhammer where it's a bit bigger, or he goes for Jarnbjorn. I hope it's the axe, because the axe is fucking cool.
An axe on a Nordic kind of god kind of style is
pretty
damn perfect, you know what I mean? So the hammer didn't ever fit, well, it does, but as comfortable as an axe.
It's kind of small for someone with guns like Hemsworth.
Yeah, you want to see him wielding, you know, like, I don't know, the sword that...
Handar.
Yes, Idris Elba
is... Look at the hammer that Ronan the Accuser had. That's a lot more badass than little teeny tiny Mjolnir, but you know, this was forged in the heart of a dying star.
Yeah, so, exactly.
It does look cool, and it was good because I missed that. I didn't know what the hell that was. I thought it might have been like another bridge and it was going to take them from the depths of space back to Earth, but a lot of people who know more about the comics have said 100% that is the Forge.
Yeah, so Lego says just hinted at it.
If he doesn't get a new weapon, he's at least trying to get them.
Yeah, it's bad that a lot of my spoiler knowledge comes from Lego, but it's fine. Well, you know.
A lot of mine comes from Emergency Awesome.
Well, exactly.
Because that guy is literally like he is
incredible, actually. Give him a shout out. Yeah, I mean, I don't think if we got him on a podcast like this, even us wouldn't get a word in edgeways, because the guy is just an incredible speed talker.
I don't think I would ever have sounded as stupid as I would do as trying to talk comics with him.
No, exactly.
I mean, but I know about 3% of what he
and
knows.
I know a tiny bit, and I get by with my knowledge of using you as a forefront, and then my movie knowledge just about holds me up.
Just about.
Occasionally, I sound like I know what I'm talking about. This has been fun, man. I honestly, because it's a huge film, and we know quite a lot But equally, we know quite a little.
We know absolutely fuck all. And that's the good thing, because that feeds into the whole mystery of Wakanda. We don't know.
I don't want to know much. I honestly, going into Ragnarok, we thought we knew a bit. We knew not a lot at all, did we? Do you know what I mean? The trailers really were quite careful with what you learned and what you didn't learn. And I think the trailers are so well done now that it's a lot of smart false direction. It's not bullshitting you. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't feel to me like they're ever going, oh, you're not going to see this in the film, because you are, but you're going to see it in a completely different light or a different direction.
It leads you up the right path, doesn't it? But they just keep the door shut and you've got to peek in through the window.
Cause it sounds like something you would do.
Look, nothing was ever proven.
was that someone on your list?
It was all just rumours. It's just rumours.
Did they go away? Okay, yeah. You made them disappear.
I was told never to come.
Who did you pay off?
It was Claire Danes.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Shame we got a booked in a few weeks' time to talk about Avengers, but obviously
I'm off
that's going
to.
What a shame.
Shame.
But yeah, it's going to be a massive film. I think
it's
going to
be far. It's out in under a month.
Yeah, it's 13th of February, so in the UK. It's probably later in the States, as always, because we seem to get a good ride on this.
I'll tell you what, do you want a little piece of useless trivia from Wikipedia?
Hit me.
In 1992, there was a prominent African-American actor announced his intention to make a film about Black Panther. Who do you think that actor was?
Forrest Whitaker?
No. Okay.
Denzel Washington?
No. You're getting closer. Early 90s warmer. Action films.
Wesley
Snipes.
That makes sense. Apparently. Obviously, coming off Blade or before Blade, maybe, but similar timings.
It was, he wanted to start working on it after Demolition Man.
That was his height of his career, really.
And he entered into talks with Columbia Pictures in 1994, and then Stan Lee joined the film. It entered early development by the May of that year, but by January 1996, so nearly 2 years later, Stan Lee said basically the script was shit.
Fair enough.
They put it on the Marvel Comics slate in 1997, and then they hired Joe Quesada, who is a legendary comic writer. I mean, Joe Quesada has done a lot of incredible work. He's done a lot of stuff. I think his major thing is probably Spider-Man. But he's done
I think you've mentioned him before, actually.
He's done a lot of Spider-Man and Daredevil. So anyway, it's like we've said, what was the other one that was mooted for ages? Ant-Man. This goes back
Ant-Man was 10 years. God knows how long that was on with Edgar Wright and on the writing duties and all the rest of it, yeah.
I mean, if you want to go on and look at the Black Panther movie page on Wikipedia, you can see at least 4 or 5 times Marvel have had pretty solid plans.
It's just timing, man.
2006, 14 years after he originally mentioned it, Wesley Snipes was still attached to the project. Wow. So the man really
he's waiting the long game for that. He's going to be gutted that he's like 65 now and not got a shot in hell.
He's
probably not that old. He's probably 50.
He's 50 fucking five.
Yeah. Do you know what would be, we talked about Blade and maybe talking about it in one of these at one stage. It would be an interesting film to redo Blade, actually. I think it could be done quite successfully now.
Oh, nowadays it could. And especially with the characters that they've brought in.
Yeah. I'd be happy if they decided to do a Blade reboot.
You know where it needs to be, though? It needs to be Netflix, or it needs to be R-rated.
It needs to be R-rated. Yeah. It needs to be dark. Because the first one was. There's promise with that. I'd like to see someone have a go at that, because I think it's an interesting property to work on. So we'll see. You never know. Maybe we can pitch it. Get writing a script and see how we go. But there's still so much opportunity. Get him on. As long as he doesn't know Claire Danes, we'll be fine. Right. Anything else from you, or is that about it? How do we think being honest, this will perform? Do we think it's going to absolutely smash? Not records, but I think in terms of...
I'm going to say somewhere in the ballpark of about
800?
700-800 million. So like Thor Ragnarok, Spider-Man Homecoming figures, which...
I think it'll achieve that, yeah.
In fact, let me have a look, because I think last time we recorded, when we did Ragnarok, it was getting good.
It was good pushing numbers. 800, I think.
It's topped 850.
Wow.
Which is insane.
This will top, it's certainly top Justice League, and it's dismal showing at the box office.
Yeah.
Comfortably I think,
by about 300 million or something.
Yeah, and I think the hype around it and the buzz is just ace. And I think, you know, it's nice that people, I don't know, we mentioned it, it's 90% black cast. It's a prominent superhero. I think a lot of people are happy about that. You know,
and it's a different type of hero. There's one bit that Chadwick Boseman himself has really been... Not Chadwick Boseman. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I was talking about the Walking Dead guy again. I'm confused. I'm old and tired. Leave me alone. And he was saying that he's a different kind of character because... You know,
he is a different
Tony
character.
Tony Stark is... He's a CEO. He's got to run a company. This guy's got to run an entire country. And exactly. Be a superhero. So he's got a hell of a lot of expectation. If he's out in the real world too much, he risks leaving his country in turmoil. If he spends too long in his country ruling, he's potentially leaving the Avengers short one of their strongest members. So that will be an interesting angle for them to hopefully explore.
He's
going to
have a lot of pressure on his shoulders, I think. And that's the thing. I think it'll explore that. I think his father was obviously very prominent, and it's going to be quite interesting how they go from there, and your first introduction into Wakanda, really, because it's going to be pretty damn epic, because we've had Guardians in space, we've had Ragnarok now, but we've not really had anything in any superhero kind of film in this kind of environment, and it's obviously not a traditional jungle, we talked about that, but it's going to be pretty damn epic, because it's going to have that really good mix of styles and visually, honestly, it looks incredible.
It looks really
stunning. And I was just looking at the screenshots before. It is an incredible looking film.
Any arguments from me.
No, it looks great, and we hope it does exceptionally well. And I think it'll review well. I think it's going to have the hype of the box office.
I'll be gobsmacked if this doesn't get hyped right up the wazoo, because it looks.
Yeah.
It looks mental. It just looks good fun. It's following on from
what
you were
saying
about Ragnarok.
Exciting,
it looks
man.
Like a good film. It looks like it's got fun. The fight scenes look like they're going to be great. The effects look like they're going to be great. But as you mentioned before, with a Civil War tone underneath it, it's got to be real. It's got to be hard-hitting.
Yeah.
And there's
I think
no
we obviously talk loads of Civil War, but people forget how hard hitting that film in parts. Yeah, for completely good reason. And that film is very emotionally hitting, actually, for me. And it did surprise me. And it still hits me now if I watch it again. But I think Ragnarok had a bit more depth to it than people give it credit for. In terms of emotional, you know, there was emotions there outside of all the humor. It did have undercurrents, and it did have serious kind of themes, and you know, especially Tessa Thompson, I think she delivered loads on all that emotional element.
She was awesome.
Yeah, she was.
I've
and I just think
her so much for that.
Well, I'm just hoping we get a lot more of her, and that's the thing. All these films just throw up these amazing characters that you just want to see more of. I mean, we all want a Korg standalone film.
Anything, a Korg standalone trilogy.
I want a Korg and Louise. Like, I just want them on set. Just for 10 seconds, I'll die a happy man.
I am so on board with this. It's untrue.
There's just some great characters in this. These really good kind of lesser characters in terms of what they are on, you know, screen time and the rest of it, but just so, so good. And they're just nailing it at the minute, and we just want to see more of that. So, yeah, it's going to be exceptional, I'm sure, and all the hype around it is looking very, very justified. So we will be back to review it not long after it comes out. And, yeah, we've got a few other things in the works, as always. We are just talking a lot of previews and reviews, but it's a big year, you know. There's so much out at the minute.
Well, tell you what, and anyone who listens to this, if you reply to us, if there's anything you want us to do that isn't a review or a preview or something, please tell us, because there's literally a billion things that we can think of, but logistically they're hard to do, or we don't know if people
are here. Yeah, so I'm happy. I've said to you before, yeah, let me, if you need to go around and research stuff, I'm fine. Don't get me wrong, go and make me watch something or read a comic. I don't care. That's not a bad thing to do. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, more than happy to take on these ideas. And there are other people we want to get on. It's just logistics and time and stuff. But, if you have an idea and you want to come and talk and you've talked before or you haven't, it's up to you guys. I don't know if we sound natural doing this. It's not as comfortable as you think when you first start out doing podcasts. And I was quite nervous and I've been talking to a few people about it. Recently, but it's a really good thing to do because it's just talking about things you really love, you know, and having a laugh, and it's all good. So yeah, we do love doing this, and appreciate that we do get genuine regular listeners and
somehow
good interaction. Yeah, somehow, I don't know how. And occasionally we get loads of listeners, which is even weirder. But we do love it, and you know, appreciate all the retweets and the likes and the interactions and all the kind of stuff we get from everyone. So yeah, we are episode 55. We're still going strong. So thanks for listening, guys and girls, and we will be back with you pretty soon, I'm sure.
Toodaloo.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.